is always a rough draft before the masterpiece. Are you favored with highly esteemed and beautifully crafted by God?
Ironically, only the women clap.
Yes, the women are dealing with their self-esteem issues. Okay. So we're looking at transitions, a time for everything. Understanding the times and the seasons of your life allows for you to lead a happy and a blessed life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 goes on to say, for everything there is a season. Everybody say season. And a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. But today, as we focus on the transitions of life, those critical points in our journey where we all have to make decisions, the consequences of which we are living out today. In a particular time, at a particular season, there is an opportune time for us to do the things that we need to do. A right time for everything on the earth. And our life is not just lived from day to day, hopefully, hoping that we make it to that point. And for us to understand the seasons and the changes of the seasons, where it seemed like you were headed down a path and all of a sudden there was a seasonal change and a redirect or a realignment or a reordering of your life. How many of you know what I'm referring to? And it's so important for us to understand and perceive these seasons and the right time for them. Because if we don't, we miss out on what God really has for us. God in His sovereignty will never usurp or violate the very gift that He gave to mankind. And that gift is your will. And so, in giving us our wills, He empowered us with the ability to make our own choices. So it means that though there may be seasons in our lives, and there are times that we need to understand the seasons and the times, and we define these two words a little bit, God has empowered us to understand, comprehend, discern, recognize the seasons, and at the right time, make the right decision. And so often in life, when we miss the season and we miss the time, we miss out on a moment in our lives that could have been outstanding or could have been amazing. There are two main Greek words translated season or seasons or times in the New Testament. And the one that's most frequently used is kairos, and it's K-A-I-R-O-S, which means a fixed and a definite time, and is translated by the word time, seasons, opportunities. There's another word that is used, which is chronos, which you get the word chronological, and that refers to a literal minutes and seconds of time. And so we have this momentous time, which is kairos. And then you have the chronological, chronos time that we need to identify. And all of us live in these zones of time. You wake up in the morning, you go to bed at a certain time, that is the chronological time and order of your life. But within that 24 hours, there are kairos moments in your day where you need to know what God is doing, understand, discern, and take decisions accordingly. I'm not suggesting that you need discernment about what color socks you wear and what color trousers you put on. God has given you brains to do that. But outside of that, there are those kairos moments. We're going to discover just how important those kairos moments are in our lives. Because we can understand chronological time. We can understand the minutes and the seconds and the impact that they have on our lives. Kairos is pregnant time. It is a time of possibilities. It's moments of our day, week, our month, our year, or our lifetime that defines us. It's those moments where, you know, either we stand out, or there's tremendous pain, or there's something that we're going through, growth, or something that is happening. And in that Kairos moment, all of heaven is with us in that time. And if we don't make the right choices in those moments of time, in those seasons of our lives, if we miss out on that, we do not perceive and discern what Jesus is doing, what God is doing in our lives, we miss out on what is to come. It is a bit like the Jews still waiting for their Messiah. He's come, he's gone, and he's coming again. They will see him eventually. But they missed out on that time when the Messiah came. They did not recognize and understand the season in which Jesus came, because it didn't fit in their chronological understanding. It didn't fit in their in what they perceived to be the King of Heaven. Coming down as a carpenter, dressed simply, no crown, no fanfare, just in simplicity. Jesus enters into the chronological time of earth, and he changes it forever. There was a season change in the world then, because sin no longer could be bought or redeemed by the blood of goats and lambs. Once and for all, Jesus became the sacrifice. That was a Kairos moment. Jesus in Gethsemane was another Kairos moment. He looked up there and he said, "Father, if you can take this cup of suffering away, it would be really helpful." But then he gives in and he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." In his humanity, as he felt the weight of our sin and what was to come, he could have easily chosen not to go through with it. He could have easily said, "Lord, it's too much." But instead, he pushed through, and somebody defined it so beautifully. Gethsemane was 80% commitment. Calvary was 100% commitment. God, Jesus, as a human being, stepped right into the Kairos moment of his life, displayed for all the world to see the glory of God in that. Isn't that amazing? How many of us miss out because we go 80%, we sweat it out, but we can't take that step further? Kairos moments that we miss are the miracles that we miss in our lives. Are the moments that we miss where God wants to do something. And here's the thing. God in his sovereignty will never override your responsibility. Say this with me. God in his sovereignty will never override your responsibility. So if Jesus chose not to go to the cross, we may not be celebrating Easter today. But see, he was willing to pay the price. Kairos moments are a string of moments that possess possibility. Clarity brought on often by pain, uncertainty, or crisis. They force us to absolutely present to ourselves, to God, and to the experience and reality that we are facing. Kairos is the time of God's activity in our life. The time where we sense God may be trying to get our attention. Where we anticipate he may be up to something, and it would be wise and wise of us to pay attention in this suspended time and space. Timing is defined as the ability to perform movements and actions at the most effective moment. Dancers, musicians, it's all about timing. Everything we do is jumping onto a bus in Mumbai. It is about timing. That bus comes and it goes past the bus stop, and you've got that moment in time to get a little bit of your toe on there, and getting off is just as tricky. I've done that, and I'm flat on my derriere. It ended up with severe pain. But I got off the bus because I had to get off the bus, otherwise I would miss that moment in time on my journey to college. It's a bit like you and me standing on a bus, knowing our bus stop is coming. Everyone pushing hard to get out as the bus stop comes, and you standing there and saying, "I'm not getting off, I'm too scared. I'm not getting off, I'm too scared." And you've got 50 other people cussing you at the back, wishing you'd step off. And then you say, "Go ahead, you get off, I am staying here. I'm too scared to step onto the streets of Mumbai." You see, fear keeps us back from entering into the Kairos moments of our life. You're at your destination, All you need to do is step off the bus to enter into everything that God has for you. And we stay on the bus and keep moving. In Kairos moments, growth and maturity happens, where we can have the sensitivity to recognize them and then respond appropriately to them. It's an invitation for formation and growth. And so, it's amazing things happen in the Kairos moments of our life. So let's look at seven key times or seasons that I have chosen that we all will encounter in life. The first one is your appointed time. Ecclesiastes verse 8 and 5 says, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. The Amplified says, a wise man's mind, his mind will know both when and what to do. For every purpose and matter has its right time and judgment. It is not enough for us to know what to do. We also need to know when to do something and how to get it done. If you get any one of these three concepts wrong, you miss out on that moment in time. You stand the risk of interfering with God's perfect plan for your life and living out of balance with the timings and the seasons of the Spirit. I remember there was a Kairos moment in our life one Sunday morning as we were preaching, and as I prepared for that service, God spoke to us and said, a white car that somebody had given us, he said, give it away to a young couple who did not have a car in our church. And we went through that entire service wrestling, at least I was wrestling, but whether I should give that car away or not. Come the end of the service, we walked out to drive into our car, to get into our car. There was no car there. The car had been stolen. A Kairos moment where we would have been, that car would have been a blessing to another young family. Where us giving that car away would have been a blessing to us, just as we had been blessed with it. Do you see the connections? But I was not able to enter in to that Kairos moment where I could have been a blessing. Can you imagine that young family as I went, turned up Sunday morning and said, here are the keys to your new car. Can you imagine the joy they would have felt had I done that? Me not entering in, not being obedient, not putting the 80% wrestling, that time had gone. So many of us miss out on those moments every day. When God tells you to do something, that's the devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. So it's not enough to know what to do, but we've got to do it at the right time. God asks you to do something for somebody, asks you to give something away, asks you to serve in some capacity, and you negotiate. And God is patient. I don't know why he wasn't patient enough with me. That car was stolen. But he taught us a life lesson. I marked that day as a time where we learned how we needed to be obedient to the simple, still, silent voice of God. There was no thunder saying, Ian, pa-pa-pa-pum, give the car away. It was, just a suggestion. Give this couple a car. A wise man will not move with undue haste to complete the matter. First, he will seek to understand the right season and the proper timing that ensures the most favorable results. Here's the big deal. Here are some seemingly wise men. I'm waiting on God to show me what I need to do. There is a need that needs to be met. They are waiting on God. Have you met those people who said, do you mind helping out? I'd love to help, but let me just pray about it. I'll come back to you. Let me just pray. I need to see God. Actually, I need the help in chronologic time today. And are you free? I'm free, but I need to see God's will on this. Esteem the matter. And you know, it's the Kairos time of God for me to help you in this. My God, if you can do something, the Bible says, do it. So let's not misappropriate the wisdom of God in moments like that. When there is an opportunity for us to do something good, the Bible says, take that opportunity and do it to the best of your ability. Whether it's your place of work, whether it's in the community, whether it's within the church community, wherever it is, take that opportunity when it comes your way. Because you never know, that opportunity is God's Kairos moment for you. I remember I was young, and Rod Gilbert, who has done amazing work amongst children, most of us who've been through school would know this young Englishman who served faithfully across the schools for years. And he picked me out one day as a young Christian. I was probably about 14, 15. I'd learned to play about 6 chords on my guitar. I thought I played as good as the Led Zeppelin lead guitarist. And he said, "I'd like you to come and lead." I understood it to mean that he wanted me to lead some worship at a UBS camp. And I was 20 feet tall. 400 children, me playing my guitar, them singing with me, me leading them with, can you see the picture in our mind? It was amazing. And so I took away time, 10 days, I took my guitar, and I went there. "Okay, God, I'm here." And he said, "Yeah, here's the worship leader, can you just support him?" And there I was. I thought I was supposed to be leading worship. What happened? God. I thought this was my big breakthrough, this was my Kairos moment in my ministry. And for 10 days I ate Malayali food and I played the guitar. I love Malayali food, by the way. I still remember that black bean curry. It's absolutely the pepper bean curry. And I played and I played. And then the last day, as we had our feedback, in that moment, this was a Kairos moment for me. When God spoke to me as I was complaining in my spirit. Not that I always complain, it's very rare. We are. Where God said to me, "If you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much." My attitude changed. That was a moment in my life where I realized if I was going to serve God, I needed to serve Him on His terms and be willing to do whatever whatever opportunity God gave me to engage with. I went on to lead worship. I went to lead worship in our churches, in all over the place. I believe that was a time of testing in my heart. My attitude is what determines also what you do in your Kairos moments. So being wise is understanding and not working in haste and also not holding on for too long. The second season of your life is your due season. Your season is not my season, and my season is not your season. Say this with me. Your season is not my season, and my season is not your season. But God, you're doing so many good things in His life, but what about me? I mean, me, God. I see Him, her, them, and it is all so wonderful, but me. And God says, "It's your season is your season. If they're in a summer and you're in a winter, understand that. Dress warm, stay out of the cold, and you'll survive. But if you try and jump into somebody else's season, you miss out on what God is working in and through you." My mother used to say this phrase to me, "The grass is always greener on the..." Psalm verses 1 and 3 says, "A blessed man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season." So your season is not always my season. "His leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." If you are bearing fruit now, and it is a fruit-bearing season for you, I must understand if my season is one of germination, then I must be willing to go through that process, because in my right time and season, I will bring forth fruit. But the Bible promises us that a blessed man, whatever he does, will prosper. So whether it is in my dark season, in my challenging seasons, in my happy seasons, whatever season I am in, I will prosper. Flowing with what God is doing in your life, being led by the Spirit of God and discerning and understanding what God is doing in your due season and how you need to respond in that season is very critical. Because each of the things that happen are unique to you, and they're fashioned and made just for you and your personality and where you are in God's chronological time. When we respond correctly in our due season, everything we do will prosper. So the question to ask is, am I discerning my due season? Am I discerning my due season? The third season is your sowing season. So we have first your appointed season. The second was your due season. The third is your sowing season. Everybody say sowing season. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows. Everybody say, for whatever a man sows, that also he shall reap. The quantity and the quality of your harvest depends directly on the seed that you have sown. The Bible also reminds us that God gives seed to the sower. What the sower does is he should sow. But if the sower eats the seed, he looks forward to a harvest, but because he has not sown, there will be no harvest. Never become weary of doing good in your season of sowing. Have you ever reached those points in your life where you think like, you feel like everybody's taking advantage of you? Everybody. And you say, that's it. That is it. I am not doing anymore for anybody, just for me. And you try and find some time for me, and even that time is compromised because somebody has just called you, asked you to do something. And so you say, I've got to do something for somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Those emotions, those frustrations. Those are our times of sowing. And in our sowing times, in our seasons, if we don't sow, we don't reap in the future. Here's the amazing thing about sowing in the kingdom of God. This is something Naomi and I have learned. We have seen that we have sown in a particular vineyard, in a particular ministry. But we see that some, most often or not, we reap from somewhere else. Because the kingdom of God is not defined by a ministry or a particular piece of land. I can give you illustrations of illustrations where we have sown our lives and our times into peoples and ministries and house groups and this, and thinking, gosh, they don't even appreciate it. Not even a thank you. Remember we were in this lovely Baptist church and we were flat broke. We were flat, I mean as broke we've ever been. And I used to make cakes, and I used to make very nice cakes. Whether you agree with me or not, I'm telling you, I used to make very nice cakes. Very beautiful looking cakes. And so the church was celebrating in some centenary or the other. And so I was sowing. We decided to make the cake. Every bit of ounce of money we had, we put into that cake. And one of the leaders came by and took the cake and left. Not a thank you, not a nothing. We had no money to go for the big event. It was £6.50. And between us, we didn't even have £30 to go for this event. They didn't even say, Ian, thank you for making the cake. Are you not coming today? And we said, no, we're not coming. Oh, we're paying for our tickets. And they walked out. And as the door shut, we said, my goodness. I gave them a cake worth £20, and they didn't even give us an invite to the moment. And all, we missed the whole shebang. You know, as a church of 100, and we were the 98th. The 99th and 100th person that was not there. Because we never had money. Because we put it all into the cake. We had sold it into the cake. And they all ate the cake. And next time they said, oh, the cake was so wonderful. And the event was so wonderful. Where were you? But God taught us another principle. That we've got to sow irrespective of where we will reap. Too often we think, I've sown here. And we sit there. Looking. And it's growing there. And we're looking here. God says, discern, this is where you will reap your harvest. Amen. So don't, the kingdom of God is not about geographical place, it is spiritual kingdom. And so you sow here and you will reap somewhere else. It's like that game you play of beating the hedgehogs. You think the hedgehog is there, you scramble there and pops up from here. You've got to discern where's the next hedgehog popping up. That's what it's like. You've got to discern what God is doing. And wherever God is, get in with what God is doing. Never become weary of sowing. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, everybody say proper time? The kairos moment, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So if I give up, I will hinder my harvest. Hello? 80% commitment. You only reap what you sow. So if you don't like what you are reaping, ask yourself the question, what have I been sowing? Oh, my life. I don't like it. I don't have friends. I don't have money. I'm not happy. Look back. Flashback. What have you been sowing? If you sow friendship, you will reap friendship. If you sow time, you will reap time. If you sow service, you will reap service. If you sow finances, you will reap finances. If you sow your intellectual capacity, you will reap that back. And how does the Bible say God gives back to us? Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing in good measure. Isn't that good? What seed have I been sowing? It's easy to sow seeds of hatred. It's easy to sow seeds of unforgiveness. It's easy to sow seeds of frustration. It's easy to sow seeds of grumbling and complaining and all the negative seeds. That seed that is not from God. But when we sow life-giving seed, like in this church, we want to sow life-giving stuff into your lives. So as you grow, and as you grow, you will take what you have received and sow again. So as you sow life, you will reap life. But if you sow sin, you will reap. What will you reap? Unless you repent of the sin. In so many countries, young teenagers are falling pregnant at the age of 13, 14. Governments don't know how to help and manage these people. They put a whole lot of stuff, restrictions, and you know, give them things so they don't get pregnant. But if you sow in sin, you reap sin. Generations of young children don't know who their father is. Generations of young kids grow up with 5 and 6 different sets of grandparents. Why? Because one man sows sinfully in 5 different fields. So there's 5 sets of grandchildren, and they all relate to their mother. Kids are growing up in those generations, and they become the victims of man's sin. But if that same man had sown faithfully and wisely, he could have sown as many oats as he wanted and produced as many children as his wife could. But there would be children that would know who their father is. There would be children who would know who their mother is. There would be children who would be satisfied and happy, rather than frustrated and raising a generation, an army of people who don't know what it is like to be loved and accepted. What an opportunity for the church to stand up and present the truth of the gospel and the love of Jesus to these people. Isn't that amazing? And you know, it's not just in the West. We have it here. We have it. It's hidden. It's tucked away. It's well covered. But it is here. And we will meet these people. We need to love on them and give them everything that Jesus has. The fourth season is sometimes our seasons of regret. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And sometimes we can create our own seasons by allowing our minds to be distracted and filled with idolatrous thoughts and ideas. Where we step out, we have that Kairos moment, and something attractive comes up. And we shift our gaze and we say, "Yeah, I'm glad what God's doing there, but I also like this." And this appeases the flesh. It is an idolatrous image, an idolatrous association that we pick up. It could be with a person, with a place, with a thing. We get distracted from those Kairos moments that God is doing something in our lives. And we think it's okay. God understands. I create my own season. You create your own environment. You say, you justify and say, "It's good. I mean, it's good. I'm happy. Everything's working." But it is not the season that God has set for you. And you step into that season, and things happen as you look back a year later, 6 months later. What happened? This was amazing. And all of a sudden, this. It's like Lot, the wife, who was instructed by God not to look back, but to go forward. And if she kept going forward without looking back, she would have been safe. She had a Kairos moment. And where God was delivering her from her enemies, from people who would slaughter her. But she lost that Kairos moment because she disobeyed God and she looked back. And the Bible says, as soon as she looked back, "Oh, what am I leaving behind? What's there that I'm missing? Maybe can I take something with me?" She became a pillar of salt. You ever smelled salted fish? Driven past car, Nanda? Your life stinks when you try and build your own seasons. Because there is not that fresh aroma of what God is doing. And that smell is of death, corruption, and sin. And we need to be certain to move away out of those seasons. Ask for God's forgiveness, repent, and come back to that place. Remember Lot's wife. Ask yourself the question, am I or have I created a season that I should not be in? You need to understand God's plan for your life and then order your steps accordingly. Because God will always help us to come through our seasons of regret. The fifth season is your season of grief. Don't waste your time on useless work. Everybody say useless work. Facebook, Twitter. I mean, it's great. But 5 hours, when you wake up, bing, BlackBerry, bing, 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 bing. If you were to assess the amount of time you spend on digital gadgets, unless it's your job, and you can justify doing it, we need to seriously assess how much binging and tweeting and Facebooking we do. I'm not saying don't do it. Of course, do it. Enjoy the technology, the season. You know, it's crazy. I'm going to write you a letter. Sorry, what was that again? A letter. Sorry? A letter? Come on, send an email. You don't have to be so out of your season. But in the seasons, we must make sure that we deal with them clearly. Because don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the shame they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one else will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of God. The Bible goes on to say, wake up, you sleeper, climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Use Facebook well. Use Twitter. Use whatever you're doing. Your time. Every hour of your day. Make sure it is productive. You relax. You enjoy your life. But also make sure that your time is not engineered and motivated and governed by sin in any way. Because when you look back, you will grieve over the lost time that you have. And so the Bible warns us about the season of grief where we wish we hadn't been there. The sixth season is your season of refreshing. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says, now it's a time to change your ways. Turn to face God so He will wipe away your sin. Isn't that good? There's such hope there. Pour out showers of blessing to refresh you. Everybody say, God wants to refresh us. And send you the Messiah we prepared for you, namely Jesus. And so, yes, we might go through these challenging seasons where we get distracted, but if we turn back to God, the Bible promises us that we have times of refreshing. When God refreshes our spirits, He refreshes us in every way. Am I ready to receive His refreshing? I have known and seen so many people who have missed out on what God is doing because within their heart there is a hardness or a callousness to not willing to step into the refreshing of God. And they become angry, bitter people because they're not willing to yield, to allow the Holy Spirit to pour out refreshing times into their lives. But if you do, then God will do that for you, even in your most difficult moments in your life. Your kairos moments are also moments of refreshing. Last and final one is your final season, the big one, where you're going to see your Maker, where you're no longer here. It's a season you can't look back on. It's a season where you are in heaven. And Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says, now the dwelling of God is with men and He will live with them. They will be His people and God Himself will be there, will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's the great season that we all look forward to transitioning into. But before we get there, there are these other seasons that we have got to live our life in. There are these kairos moments that we must understand and discern. And so the question I want to ask you as we live in this final season, am I ready to meet God? And what will I say to Him to let me into heaven? Let's bow our heads. You see, our minds to understand and our ears to hear the kairos moments that He wants us to live in. In Jesus' name I pray.